Some of the big news this week in the wake of the election has been the return of Pauline Hanson and also the Liberals' own Cory Bernardi dropping hints that he's considering a split into his own Conservative group. Now, are Conservative politics on the rise, or is this kind of the natural fallout from having a fairly centrist Liberal leader that's not making the party overly happy at the moment? Dr. Jeff Robinson, he's a lecturer with the School of International and Political Studies at Deakin University, and he joins me on the phone. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Corey, and good morning to your brave listeners this hour of the day.
We get a few. They're waking up at the moment. They're good guys. Look, conservatives.org.au is the website that Corey has set up. He's calling it an expression of interest page, and it seems that there's been a bit of planning going along for what he's refusing to acknowledge might be a new party at the moment. Have we been hearing rumblings from him for a while? This seems like something we've heard before.
I think we have heard this being expressed for some time. I mean, a few years ago, I think he was associated with a project that was badged as an attempt to form a conservative version of GetUp. I think it was going to be called CanDo, and that didn't seem to go anywhere in particular. But now he's talking about things again. And it's this interesting thing whereby which is he forming a party of his own? Is he trying to form a lobby group within the Liberal Party? You think a bit of the whole Tea Party phenomenon in the United States, which was both a kind of independent political movement, but also an attempt to mobilise a faction within the Republican Party as well. So maybe it's a bit like that also.
I'm wondering if something like conservatives.org.au could bring across, you know, if it's a big enough movement, cross-party support for some of his ideas.
Well, I think this is part of the thinking here, that given the relative success of Pauline Hanson, that potentially there can be a basis for cross-party cooperation there. Of course, in other aspects, I mean, it hasn't been a brilliant election for some of the other sort of centre-right populistist parties. I mean, we saw, I think, John Madigan's ex-DLP didn't go anywhere in particular. The Katter Party, obviously, just re-elects Bob Katter and so on. But perhaps the consolidation of this maybe in the last parliament we saw there were quite a few people elected who people initially thought, well, these people are going to be quite right-wing, such as some of the Palmer United people, but they turned up to be much more centrist, and even Jackie Lammy to a degree, although sort of some of her discourses echoed some right-wing themes around Islam and so on. So perhaps now we are seeing some hope that a more cohesive, committed conservative force can be formed.
Look, of course, with One Nation, you know, there's talk about gaining up to maybe 4 Senate seats. I mean, look, has Australia seen a conservative party of this kind of nature before?
I think we had it before to a degree with the original version of One Nation, and that actually polled substantially better than One Nation has done this time round. It was prevented from winning a substantial number of seats by, you know, fairly tight swapping of preferences by other parties in the Senate, which now I think can't be done because of the new system, first and foremost. And also, as well, I think, as some people, you know, because some people have been saying, well, blaming One Nation's election on the new Senate system. It's also the case that there are a lot of sort of smaller hard right parties out there, Christian Democrats, for example, that are willing to will and deal with One Nation. So even if they, I think it's possible in New South Wales, for example, you might get a Christian Democrat person rather than a One Nation person. But the Christian Democrats have certainly echoed One Nation themes, at least on Islam, less specifically on race, but very much in terms of anti-Islamic sentiment.
Is that sort of the clarion call for a lot of these groups? Is Australia's growing Islamophobia?
That's interesting, I think, why they've picked up on this, because it's very much a case of what you might call sort of policy transference or issue transference across from overseas, that concerns about Islam are a fairly central thing on the sort of further right of the political spectrum these days. Even in Europe, you know, where you can see the kind of social dynamics in terms of levels of immigration and these issues which have encouraged the formation of those settlements, they're then sort of being transferred rather mechanically to the United States. Remember, Barack Obama is a secret Muslim, and now they're being transferred fairly mechanically to Australia as well. So although these parties, on one hand, are very nationalist, they're also very internationalist as well. They're very plugged into international right-wing networks.
That's a very interesting take on it. Look, just finally, do you think that this is kind of indicative of a growing conservative base in Australia, or is it more a dissatisfaction with how centrist some of the traditionally conservative parties have become?
I'd be more inclined to see a fair amount of it as being saying, well, there is a conservative base out there. There are people out there who, however discontented they are never going to vote for the Labor Party or vote for the Greens. Those people are looking for a political alternative. And it's not so much, I think, that they've become distinctively more conservative. It's just they're unhappy with the overall performance of the government. I mean, this was part of the story with One Nation originally. I mean, One Nation voters were strongly conservative, but they were also conservatives who were unhappy with, you know, stagnant economy, high unemployment and so on. So these people are looking for an alternative, and they're finding it, I think, to a degree in One Nation. I mean, One Nation has a magical brand. If you don't know anything about politics, like, you know, a lot of Deakin students I encounter, they've heard of Pauline Hanson. So that's a real advantage that she's got. A problem, of course, is that she then crowds out the territory and that she proved to be quite incapable of building a cohesive political force before, and I doubt she can do it again.
Dr. Robinson, thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Yes, Dr. Jeff Robinson. He's from Deakin University at the School of International and Political Studies, having a bit of a look at what the growing wave of conservative politics might mean for Australia.